Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. We get to sing songs and lift up our voices in praise to you. And this last song is just a picture out of Revelation, where the 24 elders and the four living creatures and the thousands of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 angels are circling the throne, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Thank you that we get to join in that worship this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the freedoms of America, that we can come into church and worship you. Thank you for this Memorial Day weekend. Help us to be mindful that some gave all, just like you in giving of your Son. When Jesus went to the cross and gave his life for our sin, men and women in the United States of America have given their lives on behalf of this nation, and we remember them this weekend and say thank you, Heavenly Father, for America. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for each person here this morning. Some haven't been here for a while for different reasons. Thank you that they could be today. Thank you for each and every family, each and every person. Speak to us, Father, as we have come to worship you. I just pray that in churches everywhere, the name of Jesus would be lifted up today. The Spirit of the living God would take control, and you would bring glory to yourself, Father. Use us, your servants, to bring you glory today. And help us, as your word says over and over and over, he that has ears, let him hear. And so we want to hear from you this morning, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit. We do pray for those that are sick. We do pray for those that are hurting. We do pray for those that have just lost loved ones. And Father, we do pray for those that are still in harm's way someplace around the globe, missionaries and military people alike. We pray for them today, and we pray for the other churches. Father God, glorify your name in America today. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I have two goals usually when I begin to write for next week's message. The first goal is it is a message from God and not just a sermon from Jim. I really want it to be a message from the Lord that I share each Sunday morning. And the second goal is not to be addressing anybody individually. Every now and then people might think, well, that was for me. And he wrote that just to me, and he had me in mind. Well, not really. I try not to pick people in mind when I am writing. But if I am completely honest with you today, this one might be for me as much as anybody else. Might be for me and my daughter and my wife and my son-in-law. We have Catherine here with us today, but Thursday she goes back for round four. But the more I thought about this week, and I have some things in here that are in mind when I think the battle is not yours but God's, maybe this one was to me as much as anybody. It is Memorial Day weekend. And on Memorial Day weekend, I think of battles and wars and loss of life. And I know that a lot of you are in different kind of battles today, just like some of us are in different battles. We do have war yet in our time. We do have servicemen and women. And that's what Memorial Day is all about. Servicemen and women that have given their lives. And we remember them tomorrow, this day called Memorial Day. But when you look around society and you recognize in your own life, the past, the present, or the future, we recognize all over again there are battles of other kinds too. And so today's title is, This Battle Is Not Yours But God's. And I know this for a fact. You may be battling for your marriage right now. I know that there are people that are. I know that there are people battling to find a job, to keep their job. There are people battling with addiction. I was in the emergency room yesterday with yet another one. There are people are battling for life. There are people battling cancer. They've got more surgeries and they've got more treatments. There are people battling to overcome. And so there are a lot of battles in life, and there are plenty of battles in the Bible. And I want to go to just one such battle today. It's in 2 Chronicles 20. And you are going to have to get your Bible out today. I hate to inform you, but you are going to have to dig out your Bible. I hope that you've brought it, and if you didn't, there's one under the chair in front of you. It's not going to be on the big screen. I want you to follow along in your Bible this morning. This particular story comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Pick it up in 2 Chronicles 20. You follow along with me in your Bibles. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others who were besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. You see, Jehoshaphat, let me just interject here. Jehoshaphat was one of those kings that was labeled a good king who feared the Lord. Oh, he did some things in his lifetime that weren't all that bright, like aligned with Ahab, that wicked king of Israel for a time. But overall, the Bible would say Jehoshaphat was a good king that looked to God for guidance. The years are somewhere between 1850 and 1875 BC. Jehoshaphat was the king over Jerusalem and Judah. And it happened during that time while he was king, the Bible says, that masses of people, large quantities of people from Moab and Ammon and others came to battle against him. And then some, verse 2, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. They are from Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. I've written down as I've gone through this chapter several lessons, and I draw my first lesson here. Lesson number one, seek the face of God when encountering obstacles and enemies. You see, friends here, sometimes we are afraid. We are afraid of the outcome. We are afraid of what will happen next. Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat feared, but in his fear he set himself to seek the face of God, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And so lesson number one, I begin with seek the face of God when encountering obstacles or enemies. Seek God so passionately that you fast and call others to join you in fast, and seek Him intentionally for directions and answer for whatever it is you're facing. Amen? That's how we need to start when we face these obstacles. So Judah, verse 4. Gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, and he begins to pray. These next few verses are his prayer. He prays, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And his prayer continues. He's crying out to God now on behalf of the battle that is before him. Verse 10. And now Jehoshaphat cries out to God as if he didn't know this already. Here are the people of Ammon, the people of Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that place that says, God, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what you expect of me, and I don't know what to do. But I am going to trust you. My eyes are upon you, so lead me into the battle. Have you ever been there, brothers and sisters? I am not the only one, I'm pretty sure. By the way, the Ammonites and the Moabites, you know who they are? They're relatives. They're Lot's descendants. And the Mount Seir people, those are Edomites. Those are Esau's descendants. Yeah, it's a long time since Esau and Lot lived, but these are descendants of Lot and Esau battling against Jacob's tribe, Jacob's family. Lesson number two. Sometimes we think it's wrong to question God about what we're going through. But Jehoshaphat had a few questions. When you read the Psalms, David had a few questions. Don't you rule over all the kings of the nation, O God? Isn't it you that's in control? Have you ever asked that? Isn't it you that's in control? In this prayer, we see Jehoshaphat presenting his case before God. God already knows that. And he's presenting his case. Here are the people that you wouldn't let us crush before we came into the land. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself reminding God of what's going on, as if he isn't already aware. That's what Jehoshaphat was doing, presenting his case. One time, Pastor Ori, our pastor and leader for many years at the Mennonite Church, said as a younger person in the north woods of Minnesota, in the cold northern Minnesota winters, he and three other guys, there was four of them, working amongst the Native American peoples there and also working in the woods. And he said one very, very cold winter, their gloves were disintegrated off their hands. And there's just nothing left of them. Their clothes were threadbare, they were poor, and their gloves were completely shot. And one of his comrades took that very little simple request to God, said, God, he simply presented his case to God. He said, look at our gloves. Look at our hands. And the very next day, somebody showed up with a box of gloves and said, thought maybe you could use these. You see, God already knows the battle that you're in. But it doesn't hurt to present it just like Jehoshaphat did. God already knew about the Ammonites and the Moabites and the people from Mount Seir. And yet Jehoshaphat was reminding him, and Ori's friend reminded him, God, look at our gloves. Present your case to God. He wants to hear from you. Present that battle to him. Present that case and pray against the enemy, whatever that may be, the devil, cancer, loss of job, addiction. And most importantly, out of this prayer, I conclude, we must admit, like Jehoshaphat, we are powerless without God's intervention. Now, we can work real hard at something. We can get a few friends to help us keep working real hard at something. But until we have got to the place that Jehoshaphat got and said, God in heaven, we do not know what to do, but our eyes upon you. Until we get to that point of complete surrender and trust in him for the battle ahead of us, we're going about it by ourselves. And we can go about it ourselves all day long, but we are powerless without the living God to face any battle. And Jehoshaphat got to this point, we don't know what to do, but our eyes upon you, so lead on, Heavenly Father. Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came to Jehaziel. Verse 15. And he, that's Jehaziel, said, listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. And tomorrow go down against them. And so I don't know what battles you're facing. I know there's battles. I know there is, because I talk to enough of you and I see enough of what's going on. But I want us to remember today that we can rest assured when we have surrendered to the living God, trusting Him completely. He will send that message to us right from Scripture again, right from His Spirit. Trust Him. Surrender to Him. Hang on to Him. Don't be afraid. And yes, there will be days that we are afraid. We are afraid what tomorrow will bring. You are afraid of the outcome 6 months from now. There will be days. But then God's voice comes back to us and says, don't be afraid of this affliction that's afflicted you, because this battle is not yours but God's. Number 17. The prophet said to Jehoshaphat, you will not need to fight in this battle, but position yourselves, stand still, and seek the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. You see what he's saying? Prepare for the battle. Go through the motions. Get in position. Do whatever it needs to, ever needs to be done in your situation. God didn't say do nothing. He said to get out there and get ready for the battle. And Jehoshaphat, the Bible says in 18, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Lesson number 4 I draw from this little passage. Don't forget to worship Him even in the battle. There will be days that you don't feel like it. There might be weeks that you don't feel like worshiping Him. And as Jehoshaphat prepared his people, they worshiped. So they rose early in the morning, verse 20 said, and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they, as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should who should praise the beauty of His holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Can you get the vision of that picture, brothers and sisters? They are on their way to battle with thousands of people. And Jehoshaphat, believing and trusting in what the prophet had when he had a word from God, believing in Him, and he assigns people to sing unto the Lord, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Can you get a picture of that en route to battle, singing praises to God? Lesson number 5, believe. Believe completely and unreservedly in the living God and His Word. Sing praises to God in preparation for battle. After all, isn't that what Paul and Silas did in Acts 16:25? After they had been beaten with rods and their feet put in stocks, they were in the inner prison in Acts 16, and the Bible says at midnight they were singing praises to God. It isn't easy to sing praises to God when you're in the heat of the battle. But Jehoshaphat signed singers and said, sing to the Lord praises in the heat of the battle. Sing to the Lord praises and recognize again His mercy endures forever, even in the midst of the battle. And the Bible says in 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. You see, when our heart is right towards the battle, friends, Jehoshaphat believed, and he told all of Judah, believe. Believe in the Word of God. Trust Him. And they began to sing praises, the Bible says, and the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come up against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. The Lord took care of the battle. Just exactly like He said when the prophet said to Jehoshaphat, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, but God's. And God said about those people of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, this confusion, and they wiped each other out. Verse 24. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. The battle was the Lord's. Now we can tremble in fear and we can do nothing. But when he says move, we need to move. We need to trust him. We need to believe. We need to sing praises to him, even in the heart, in the heaviness of the battle, and God will intervene. Verse 30 concludes that chapter, that story, by saying, then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Listen to me, friends. I'll wrap it up here in a minute. I don't know what battles you're fighting today. I've been lately for some time, and we're in spiritual battle. We got all kinds of issues, financial issues, moral issues, spiritual issues, physical battles. But I also know that individuals have battles. I know that sometimes churches have battles. And what battle are you fighting this morning? I don't know. God knows and you know. Maybe it's the battle of temptation to stop looking like the world when he has called his people to be holy people. Maybe it's a battle for your marriage. Maybe it's a battle for your kids. Maybe it's a battle for freedom. Maybe it's a battle, you know you got surgery coming up. You know you got cancer. I don't know what it is, but recognize the words of God, friends. Don't be afraid or dismayed because of this great affliction that has afflicted you, or even this great affliction that has afflicted America. I'm going to talk further in the future about elections and rulers and stuff, but you know what? One person isn't going to save America when we talk about the human being aspect of it. Jesus will save America. And when hearts from stone are turned from stone to flesh again that cry out to the living God, that will turn America around. And so I don't know what battle is in your mind today, but listen to the words of God when he says, don't be afraid or dismayed because of this battle, because of this affliction, because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, when you have surrendered to him completely, listen to me now. If I'm just wandering in this pathway called life and I have no regard for God, well, he'll take care of me. You've got to surrender to him completely, just like Jehoshaphat did. You've got to trust him completely. You've got to allow him into your life. You've got to repent of sin. You've got to be born again. And when you allow Jesus into your life, he's not going to send you into some battle by yourself. He's going to be with you. I suppose you could say, yeah, but Jim, what about the people that are burned at the stake? Yeah, but what about the Christians that are dying at the hands of ISIS in Egypt and Iraq and Syria? Yeah, but. We could say all kinds of things, and I suppose we could think about all kinds of battles that some won't turn out the way we want them to. But I assure you, friends, God has a plan. He sees a bigger picture than we do. And he won't send you into that battle alone. And he will say to you, as he said to Jehoshaphat, the battle, this one is mine. Trust me and walk with me and watch the hand of God. And so whatever battles you're facing today, it doesn't mean we do nothing. It means we call upon him. We seek him. We trust him. We fast. Yes, sometimes we do. We fast. That Sunday, some months ago, when I came home from the emergency room in Staples, I come home very heavy-hearted. I didn't think it looked good for our little Catherine. And she's been in chemo and treatments for the last 4 months. And I began to fast that day for her health. That's what Jehoshaphat called for. People of Judah, this is serious. Maybe your marriage is clinging by a thread. This is serious. Maybe the condition of America, you realize like I've realized, this is serious. Maybe it's time for God's people to fast and seek His face for days, not for 15 minutes or one meal, maybe for several days, to fast and seek the face of God on behalf of this nation, on behalf of the circumstances that you're going through. He has called us to step into the battle. He has called us to take up position. And He said, but this battle is mine. I'll take care of it for you. We've got to seek Him. We've got to trust Him. We've got to fast. We've got to involve others sometimes and call them to fast and trust Him. And we got to worship in the heart of the battle. We got to praise Him. We got to sing songs to Him in the heart of the battle and watch Him intervene. Watch Him intervene and say to you, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, because this affliction, this problem, this battle, this multitude that you're up against, it's not yours really, but it is God's. Trust Him, friends, no matter what battle you're going through. Father, thank You for the freedoms that we enjoy in America. Thank You, Father, for the freedoms that we can enjoy in Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for this morning. Thank You for everyone here. Thank You that when we've surrendered completely to You, trusting You, loving You, walking with You, the battle is Yours. The battles are all Yours. And so guide us, Father, through whatever those battles may be, trusting You, hanging on to You, singing praises to You, involving others to sing praises and fast and seek Your face. Thank You, Father, for guiding us through many a storm and many a battle, as You did Jehoshaphat. Please continue to guard and guide our nation to You, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go with us today and this weekend and help us to trust You no matter what the circumstances around us are. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.